If you have your Bible, you can open up to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is one of those psalms that we've all heard for a long time. The ones that I think of immediately are Psalm 23, Psalm 100, Psalm 16, Psalm 91, Psalm 121. We all have our favorites. And most likely, Psalm 100 is on many of your lists of favorites. But I want to start with something else before I read Psalm 100. I want to read to you the first Thanksgiving proclamation that the Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. These are the words of Governor Bradford. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord 1623 and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock. There are there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. I am so thankful that who got that copy left all those ye's in there. There's just, especially the one, listen to ye pastor. So, well, that's just by way of introduction as we hear the word of the Lord. And let's stand as we read this psalm for giving thanks. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. This psalm starts with the title, A Psalm for Giving Thanks. It's the only psalm of 150 that have that exact heading to it. It was to be a public proclamation. It was calling for that, a confession, a sacrifice of praise. And in the Hebrew Old Testament worship culture, thanksgiving was always included as an act of praise. When God's people came together, they were involved intentionally with thanksgiving to God. One thing that it's different than maybe our day is that often we just kind of say thank you. We say thank you when someone holds the door for us. Or we say thank you at the checkout counter. We say thank you when we receive a gift. But in the biblical culture of the day when Psalm 100 was written, it was a comprehensive attitude that was brought as a core part of worship of Almighty God. There was no room for an emotionless, rote, or mundane giving of thanks that you often hear and we often give. There was no room for just going through the motions or just mouthing out the right words, systematically dotting all of your I's and crossing all of the T's as if God was satisfied with the formula. Thanksgiving was to be given every morning and every evening during Old Testament times of worship. 1 Chronicles 23. And they were to stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise at evening. You can see how Thanksgiving was an integral part of the worshiping community of Old Testament Israel. Thanksgiving was to be given wholeheartedly. Psalm 86:12, I give thanks to you, Lord, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Thanksgiving was to be given continually. Psalm 30:12, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Thanksgiving was often associated with a confession of sin, as found in the fellowship and the peace offerings of Israel's worship. And we will have an opportunity in just a little while to confess our sins to the Lord with thanksgiving for his mercy and his forgiveness. One writer calls Psalm 100 a bunch of the grapes of Eshkol. It is a taste of what is still the promised land. So let's now look at Psalm 100, and we'll look at it verse by verse. Verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. This verse 1 gives us the first of seven imperatives, seven commands that we are to follow in our worship. And whether that's corporate or private or with our family, we are to make a joyful noise. Another translation tells us to shout joyfully. We are told to do this at least 42 times in the Old Testament. We are to direct this joyful noise somewhere specific, not just out there into the forest, but to the Lord. I often think of my college years and find myself repenting often for decisions made and actions performed, as many of you. And we realize the Lord had great mercy, and we can include that in our list of thanksgiving. Can someone say amen? But I remember one of my college housemates, I will never forget this, and I've shared this before. He was not a believer in Jesus Christ. There was one time when he kind of tinkered with it and considered it for a while. I do remember that, and that was after college. But what he would do is he would offer up his version of joyful noises, but with no specific direction or no specific person to receive it. What it would look like, he would grab his saxophone, and first of all, he was not a saxophone player, but he could make the noise with the reed and do all the keys, you know, and just he would come out of the house and come out into the open area there, and it was dirt area, and our driveway was dirt, and there was three houses kind of all together there in the woods, and he would just come out with his saxophone and blow, and that was his, he said that was his offering of thanksgiving to kind of just out there. And yes, he was out there. The sound went everywhere. It went loudly. He never really played the saxophone, but he would make noise with it. And he honestly thought it was joyful. And in one sense, it was. It was his expression of some kind of generic thanks and a joyful noise. I kind of likened it to an instrumental primal scream more, and that fit his personality. Beth knows exactly who I'm talking about. And it was kind of done in a way to let off steam or to relieve the stress of the week. You know, much of what we observe in today's society as Thanksgiving is really not that much different than what my roommate did with his saxophone. It certainly made him feel good, but it wasn't directed to God, or in his case, it wasn't directed to anybody. It wasn't directed to me or our neighbors. It certainly wasn't directed to God, and it was not a giving of thanks in any traditional sense. See, the giving of thanks without God to give thanks to only goes so far. and it's not very far that it goes. It's the kind of thanksgiving that I think bounces off the ceiling and comes back. So God in this psalm calls all the inhabitants of planet Earth to come and worship Him with a very high volume expression of praise. High volume. It's a planet-wide call to worship. And I want to give you permission as your pastor that any time that we gather together, you have my permission, you actually have my exhortation to lift up joyous, high volume shouts and voices and songs of praise to Almighty God. Thought this was a good time to throw in my John Piper quote that I give at least once a year. You're going to go, yep, heard that one a lot, Pastor Steve. But you know, see, this call to bring thanksgiving to all the earth is really connected to the call of global missions. Because global missions is a call for the nations of this world to worship God in a Psalm 100 kind of way. John Piper said, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is ultimate, not missions. Because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will no longer exist. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. So Psalm 100, verse 1, is a global call to come and worship the Creator. Charles Spurgeon said the world will never be in its proper condition till with one unanimous shout, it adores the only God. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. And this verse contains our second and third commands. The first, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, in church folk, unfortunately, we sometimes say, well, all right, I'll serve, but I'm not going to be happy about it. You know, we disconnect the joyful noise with serving the Lord with gladness. Anybody guilty of that? I put my hand up. We've all been guilty of that at times. We're to come into His presence with singing. And I can't picture Psalm 100 calling for a song in a minor key. There are times when the Bible exhorts us to sing laments and sing our sorrows as prayers, and maybe appropriately those would be in a minor key. Imagine certain songs that were to never sing in a minor key sung that way. Think of the song, When the Saints Go Marching In. Can you realize that song in a minor key? Oh, when the saints come marching in. It just doesn't fit. It's a joyous song when the saints are marching in to the gates of heaven. Again, Spurgeon, the Baptist preacher from England in the 1800s, said the invitation to worship here given is not a melancholy one, as though adoration were a funeral solemnity, but a cheery, gladsome exhortation as though we were bidden to a marriage feast. That's our worship. Every time we gather, every time we answer this call of Psalm 100 to worship, is not the ultimate joy for us in this life the realization of exactly what God has done for us in Christ? Our coming into His presence is a response to His first coming to us. Hosea 6:3 says, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Life. Growth. God has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He has accomplished redemption for all those who believe. The sacrifice has been made. Our sins have been atoned for. What can now separate us from the love of God? Do you believe this message? Is your response to His coming a worship that is heartfelt, continual, confessional, and joyful? May it be that every time that we worship, even the times when we're singing and praying the laments. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. This verse contains our fourth command, and it is to know the Lord. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We're His people. We're His sheep. It's His pasture. Folks, we are to know God. Not just know about Him. That's the first thing, is we know about God. But in the process of knowing and learning and reading and praying, we actually know God. An unbelievable, incredible experience. And this is a personal acquaintance. It was in the prayer of Jesus and His great high priestly prayer in John 17:3. He said, "And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." We are to have knowledge of our Maker, the Creator of our being. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Born again, not with perishable seed, but with imperishable seed. The living Word of God, which was preached to us. This verse, Psalm 100, verse 3, also calls us God's sheep. We all together could go, bah, you know, we're God's sheep. As sheep, we are each prone to go our own way. We so often live as though the shepherd does not even exist. People are so often prone to what has been called practical atheism. The practical atheist sometimes acknowledges God, perhaps has even joined a church, has been baptized, teaches a class or a small group, could even be a deacon, an elder, or a pastor. But lives a daily life, when you examine it, as God examines it, as though God does not exist. In practice, an atheist. In confession, a Christian. May that not be us. May we strive and pray and approach God to be something different than that. There's too much of that out there. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." But then Isaiah gives us the good news and then says, "And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." And then we are able to join King David in saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." Psalm 100, verse 4. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." This verse contains the last three commands of this psalm. Enter, give, and bless. Someone said, I don't remember who said this, but thanksgiving gets you in the door. Praise gets you into the inner courts. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. We as God's children have total free access into the place that God dwells. Never forget that. We as God's children have total free access through Christ into the very place where God dwells. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Alexander White, the famous Scottish preacher, he always began his prayers during the worship service with an expression of thanksgiving. And perhaps on a day much like today, maybe not as beautiful since it's the first snow of the season, but there was one very cold, miserable day, and his people were waiting and wondering just how he would express gratitude for such a lousy weather day. He prayed like this: "We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this." So he found a way to be thankful and no matter what came his way. What a great challenge and a model for us. We who have a mindset for blessing all the time and then being upset when it's not there or it's prohibited or taken away from us. "We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this." Biblical commentator Matthew Henry, after being robbed one day, wrote this in his diary, and perhaps you've heard this. He says, "Let me be thankful," after he was robbed. "First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. And third, because though they took my all, it was not much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Wow. So our shouting with joy to God, our serving Him with gladness, our coming to Him with joyful singing, our knowing Him, our entering His presence, and our giving of thanks, all of these are examples of how to bless His name. Blessed be His name. Psalm 100, verse 5. "For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." We worship a God who is good, always good. He doesn't change on us. He's not like the Wizard of Oz who says, "Come back tomorrow. The Great Oz is too busy. Doesn't have time for you." His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness extends to all generations. We're going to remember 2020. Can somebody say amen? We have so much to be thankful for as we consider all the stuff going on, from COVID to the economy, to the election, to lawsuits, to political division and hostility among the major political parties, the news media. I might struggle with finding a way to be thankful for that right now, just to be honest with you. But we are to be a thankful people. We have so much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday. Let's don't forget all that the Lord has done for us through Jesus Christ. There was a man who owned a small estate, and he decided he was going to sell it. So he sent for a real estate agent, and he asked the agent, "Write an advertisement describing the house and the land." So when the ad was ready, the agent took it to the owner and read it to him. And the owner said, "Read that again." And the agent read the description of the estate once more. And the man said, "I don't think I'm going to sell the estate after all. I've been looking for an estate like that all my life, and I didn't know that I actually owned it." And that just means, you know, sometimes just stop and consider all of the things that we have from the Lord to be thankful for. Another way to say that is count your blessings. But start by asking God to open your eyes to see all that you possess in Christ. It goes back to the song that we sang last week and a little bit this morning. If you read your Bible and pray every day, you'll grow in your view of God. God will appear bigger in our eyes. But start by asking God to open our eyes to see all that we possess in Christ. And that will work to change our entire perspective and help enable us to praise God more and more and more for what we have. Before we come to the Lord's table, I want to read to you Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1863. It'd be nice to hear things like this today in the public forum. It has seemed to me fit and proper that the gifts of God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. This was in the middle of the Civil War. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Amen. Will you pray with me? And before we come to the table, I'm going to have a time of silence after I pray. And just give thanks and ask God for forgiveness and then thank Him for doing that. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, bring back to our memories the many, many blessings that we have forgotten or that have been moved over to the side and become obscured. Forgive us for not remembering those the way we should and giving you praise and glory and honor for it. Help us to be thankful for the little things, the details of daily life. Help us to not dwell on the negative and the things that are broken and wrong and sinful in this world. Help us to find more thanksgiving in the midst of all those things. Lord, we just pause now and offer thanksgiving to you. And we offer it to you in Christ's name. Hear our thanks, Lord.